Welcome to Learning to Live for God with Pastor Steve Akin of Southern Arizona Community Church, located in Green Valley, serving all of Southern Arizona. Join us each week as we help you into a deeper, sanctified walk of grace with Jesus Christ through the teaching and preaching of the Bible as the infallible, inspired Word of God. Now, let's join Pastor Steve with today's message on learning to live for God.
In Acts, the Bible says that, kind of paraphrasing, the Bible says that the disciples watched Jesus defy gravity and head up, and they were just straining their neck, which I can't blame them. I'd probably do the same thing. And the angels that stood by said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye here staring? This same Jesus who you see rising is going to come back in like manner." But one of the things, we're not going to study Matthew, but we are going to go to Matthew today, Matthew chapter 7. But one of the things you'll learn if you've ever read Matthew 24, the disciples were very curious. What's going to be the sign of your return, Lord? Because they had already learned the lesson. At one point, they were walking along with Jesus, and they said, "Hey, are we going to call fire down and teach these people a lesson?" And Jesus was very clear. "You guys don't know what spirit you're, you don't know what you're talking about. I didn't come to condemn the world." Basically, Jesus said he came that through him, we all, that's all of us, including those of you that are watching or listening on the radio now, he came to save us all. Now, that does not mean, you know, some religions will teach you, well, because Jesus did that, that it's automatic, you're covered, it's all good. You know, that would be sort of, in a mild way, you know, thinking that you had flood insurance for your house or fire insurance for your house, and, you know, your house gets wiped out, God forbid, and you go to the insurance agent, and he says, no, you're not covered for that. Trust me, just because Jesus coming and being crucified and rising again happened does not mean that your policy includes that. It doesn't include that until you include him in your life. So every one of you needed to, at one point or another, ask Jesus to come in and reside with you, and he does. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, one of the other signs. So in Matthew 24, we hear about earthquakes and signs and wonders in the heavens and so on and so forth. Some of that is already starting to take place a little more so than 50 years ago. Most importantly would be the earthquakes. They tell me that there are close to a million more earthquakes. Now, this could be a little 0.1 tremor to a 6.8 whatever, but they tell me that there's a million more earthquakes per year than there used to be, and they measure these things all over the place. That was just one of the signs, but Jesus was also very careful to let us know that false prophets will come, and he warned us that false prophets will come. As a matter of fact, in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24, 25, somewhere in there, you know, it talks about how the Antichrist at one point is going to be accepted by Israel as the Messiah, Mashiach. They're going to say, "This is the one." We know, because our Bible tells us, that when Israel accepts the first one, let me reverse this. They rejected the real one, the first one. The second one that comes to them and brings peace to their nation will be the false Messiah, but they will worship him because he will bring peace to their land. And Israel, I hate to say this, but it's true, and I'm the biggest supporter of Israel that I know, but Israel will sell their soul for peace. And who can blame them? They live not knowing, sending their children to kindergarten, not knowing if a rocket or a Katusha rocket or whatever is going to come, and they may never see their son or daughter again. They live constantly with the listening to the sirens or the bells or the whistles, knowing full well that they got to go into a fallout shelter. Now, some of you are old enough to remember those black and yellow triangular things, and we were taught to hide under our desks and all that, as if that was going to do any good in a nuclear explosion, but at least you'd be comfortable before you disintegrated, I guess. I don't know what the theory was behind that. But Some of you remember that. But these people are living it every day over there in the Middle East and in Israel particularly. And if you're on our Facebook page, I just threw up an amazing article that just blew my mind that the Pope, the current Pope, I forget his name, is it Francis? Somebody know? The current Pope just made a deal with the leader of Hamas, the Palestinians. He just made a deal, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness. Said all that to say this: the Bible has never been proven wrong. It has constantly been on target, 100% accurate, 100% of the time. And now we're starting to see with the integration of Israel, integration is not the right word, the hatred of Israel around the world. We're starting to see that rise of anti-Semitism exactly the way the Bible predicted it would. Not talking about that today, but in Matthew, talking about these false prophets. And so one of the things Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to say maybe the 15th verse, he starts talking about wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, I'm not going to talk about that today except to say this. There are a lot of pastors, and I guess I'm one of them, that are on the YouTube or on the radio and so on and so forth. So there's a whole bunch of us. But how do you discern between who's giving the right message and who's giving the wrong message? Let me tell you something. It's not as easy as you might think. Because when it comes to false preachers, they sound like I do. They sound like we do. They kind of talk like we do. They look like we do. Yet they are wolves in sheep's clothing. And the Lord showed me this week through some other circumstances that I'm not going to get into. But a wolf literally nowadays looks like a sheep. And he or she will sneak in to the sheepfold and go bah, 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 like he or she is a sheep, and then they end up separating the lonely ones or the single ones, and then they just devour them and tear them to pieces, and then they move on. And that would be true of a wolf in sheep's clothing in a congregation. But today I want to spend a little bit more time on false teachers and false preachers. How can we discern which ones are true and which ones are false? For all you know, I could be a false teacher. Jesus set the standard, and the standard is himself. If you have a man who stands before 40,000 people, and this guy got the whitest teeth I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I don't know how he does it, all right? Me, I got more holes in my mouth because I keep, never mind. But anyway, so he's got this beautiful smile, but he teaches a man-made philosophy. And the things that he says are very soothing. And it's soothing to our ears. And the Bible even talks about that. In the last days, they will heap to themselves teachers because they have itching ears, the Bible says. In other words, they want these preachers to scratch their itch. They want the preachers to tell them what they want to hear. And what they want to hear is not controversial. Controversy in this day and age is like a leprosy to a lot of people. Anyone who does not conform, anyone who doesn't stand up, anyone who doesn't conform, anyone who isn't politically correct and doesn't use the proper language of today, which is meant to offend no one, except Christians, but anyone who uses politically correct language, they're accepted by the world, and they're lauded by the world. And I got to tell you, my Bible tells me that the cross of Jesus Christ is an offense to many. Nobody wants to be told that they're a sinner. Nobody wants to be told that unless they accept Jesus as their personal Savior, that they will die in their sins and spend an eternity in hell. That is not a politically correct message, I assure you. And so nobody wants to hear these kinds of things. Why? Because they're not seeking truth. And unfortunately, these false prophets are promoting a portion or a truth, and as I've said several times in the last couple of weeks, the worst lies are those that are interwoven with some truth. And let me just give you a classic example. if you don't know your Bible, and a pastor was on TV with that million-dollar smile and 40,000 people in his audience, and he said to you, you cannot love God unless you love yourself first. 90% of the people will sit there and go, oh, yeah, that sounds pretty good. You can't love God unless, that's good. Let me go buy his book. And it just goes on. These are things that, now, that sounds really good, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Jesus is our love. And as you walk in Jesus, the love of Christ will come out through you. But you don't put the cart before the horse. A young, rich ruler came to Jesus and tried to do that one time, and Jesus sent him away very sorrowful, because Jesus finally ended up telling him, you know, go and sell what you have and give to the poor. Most of you know this story. The rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and says, good master. Now, that's a whole sermon there. I could do a whole 45 minutes on that, but I'll spare you. I'll just give you the highlights. When he addressed Jesus as good master, he was basically saying, you and I are kind of on the same level. You are a really good teacher, and I'm here to learn from you. And Jesus cut him off at the knees and said, why are you calling me good? In other words, there's only one that's good, and that's God. And you're not calling me God, you're calling me professor, you're calling me teacher, you're calling me rabbi. Jesus never settled for being called, now there are many people that called him rabbi in context of his deity, but he never settled for people calling him good master. A little later on we'll hear, I think we're going to read it today, about a woman who said, Jesus, thou son of David. No, not Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, but Jesus. So let's get back to the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler says, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus knew his heart immediately. So immediately he cuts him off and he says, why are you calling me good? There's only one good, that's God. And you ain't calling me God, so you're not really interested in learning. But what does it say in the commandments? Honor your mother and father. You know, what to do? All these things, the kid says, I have done since my youth up. Yeah, right. Okay, so let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Even if he did, and he didn't, nobody can keep the law. Nobody can keep all the commandments 100% of the time. Remember, James tells us, if we violate one, it's as if we violated them all. But Jesus says to the young man, he says, all right, great. Now, of course, this is my version. Good for you. You keep all the commandments. I am so happy for you. Now go and sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. Now, I assure you, had the young man done that, Jesus would have saved his soul. I promise you that, because Jesus could never lie. So if he would have went and sold what he had and came and followed Jesus, eventually, Jesus would have turned him around, and the poor young man would have got saved. We have no record of this young man getting saved in the Bible. In fact, the Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had so many possessions. Others will teach you that, the wickedness of the world, false preachers now we're talking about, the wickedness of the world, you know, what is your worldly possessions? Do they mean more to you than Jesus? Does your music mean more to you than you need to surrender it all and give it all up for Jesus? And you think, okay, I guess that makes sense. I need to give it all up for Jesus. So yeah. And again, we're getting things out of context. We're getting taught law. We're getting taught do. We're getting taught this. And we've all heard these sermons. You cannot put anything before Jesus. Listen to me. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, listen to this. When you put Jesus first and foremost in your life, all these other things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I got news for you, folks of the Southern Arizona Community Church. His righteousness has a name. His name is Jesus. And so when you put Jesus first and foremost, all these other things get added to you. Now, what part of that teaching makes you think that you got to go sell everything you have. The only reason why Jesus told that young man to go and sell everything that he had and come and follow him is because he didn't have the knowledge and the understanding and, most importantly, the acceptance of Jesus as his Messiah, Jesus as his Savior. That's why the Bible says you must be born again. So the key to judging the fruit, and that's what we're going to talk about today in Matthew 7. The key to judging the fruit is the seeds. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. The change that takes place in a person's heart. And I'm telling you, the closer you come to Jesus, the more change happens in your life. Every one of us has experienced that change. You'll see things differently. You'll start paying attention to things differently. When somebody takes the Lord's name in vain, all of a sudden you'll start noticing, and it'll start bothering you. They'll just see things. You'll have more compassion for people. You'll have a hunger for the Word of God. And all these things, and I'm not listing an A, B, C, D, E, F, G category. I'm saying all of these things will apply to your life to one degree or another. Some of us, like me, I needed to learn the Word of God. So God just started pouring His Word into me, and I would study His Word, and I would study His Word. Others of you, maybe you need to learn to be more giving or more kind or more compassionate. I don't know. See, but the change. That's what I want you to pay attention. Is there a change taking place in your life? I don't care if you've been saved 100 years or 100 days or 100 hours. The change that the Lord does through the power of the Holy Spirit never stops happening in our life. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We're not going to spend a lot of time there, but I want to go to Matthew 7 just to lay the groundwork here. Oh, let's start at Matthew chapter 7. Let's start at the 16th verse. You shall know them. What are we talking about? Talking about false prophets, as you can see in the 15th verse. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now, I don't know if anybody's Bible says that a little differently, but I'm going to take the last part of this verse first. Take the last part of the verse first and the first part last. The first shall be last and last. That's a biblical thing. So here's what I'm saying. Don't get hung up on do men gather grapes of thorns or figs at thistles? I can knock that one out of the ballpark for you. Do people go to Home Depot to pick up a prescription? No, you just don't. You go to Home Depot for Home Depot stuff. You go to the CVS or Walgreens for your prescriptions. You don't go to a thorn bush to gather grapes. You just don't do it. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but let's take the first part. You shall know them by their fruits. Now, here's what I want you to understand, or you're not going to get the entirety of this message. The good fruit that we're going to talk about and the corrupt fruit or the bad fruit look the same. So I could have one apple here, and it could be good, and another apple here, and it could be corrupt. They look the same. It's not until, now you're going to start to catch on, it's not until you get to the inside of the apple whether it determines whether it's good or it's corrupt. So it's not like I have one piece of fruit here and it's beautiful and it's lovely and it's ready for market and I have another piece of rotten, stinking worm. No. They look the same. These apostles, these preachers look the same. And essentially, if you're not paying attention, if you don't have ears to hear, as Jesus said about the parables, if you're not willing to take the extra step to actually hear what they're saying or examine the seeds on the inside, you're going to be bamboozled by false teachers. Here's the problem. We all know folks that are happy to listen to false preachers because they never hear an offensive word and they never get offended and they never get upset and they never get challenged and they never get, I guess challenged is the best word. They never get, you know, questioned. They're just happy that they can say in their own little mind, I go to church every Sunday and our pastor's great. And what they're really saying is our pastor never makes anybody mad. He never makes anybody angry. He never challenges us with biblical truths or, God forbid, sin. He never does any of those things. And Jesus was very plain when he said, those are corrupt fruits. Going to get more specific here in a minute, but I'm just laying the groundwork. 17th verse, even so, how many good trees bring forth good fruit? Every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Don't think for a second that just at a glance, just by looking at the outside or the exterior of the fruit, that you can tell whether it's corrupt or not. You cannot. Once again, these false pastors, these false preachers, they look like us, they talk like us. I'll never forget, a couple months ago, this guy was just going on TV. This guy's just going on and on and on and on and how you can have whatever you want and if you'll just have enough faith and you know, conveniently give money to his ministry and write a check, a sacrificial check, and plant your seeds and on and on and on and on. And he went on for like 25 minutes and I'm looking at Deborah and I'm saying, is this guy ever going to like read a verse or and when he's finally done this, I don't know, it's like he went on for 15 minutes and never even took a breath. You know how I drink or whatever, never even took a breath. And then finally when he gives this dissertation how important it is for you to sacrificially give to his ministry and write those checks and get your credit cards out, finally he says, in Jesus' name. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So just putting a little Jesus icing on the corrupt seed is not going to make it a good message. And it's happening more and more. Back to the beginning of what I started here. When Jesus warned us these things were going to happen, towards the end, they are happening expeditiously, especially in the United States right now. 18th verse. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Unfortunately, that does not mean right away, or even it could mean at the end of this particular person's life. There have been false prophets who have been allowed to minister and teach and live and thrive till they die a natural death in their 80s or in their 90s. So what he's actually talking about is their final destination here. Sarah should have John 15:5. You don't have to go there. This is the mark of good fruit. There is no other, so we might as well get right to it. John 15:5 says, and Jesus is speaking, and he says, I am the vine. Jesus must be the vine of every teaching, of every sermon, of every preaching, of every lesson. We must lift up Jesus. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. This is not a secret. This isn't some, you know, something you have to really get confused about or think, well, okay, he's saying it's Jesus, but what does he really mean? I mean, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the vine. We are the branches. So the vine supplies the, if you will, the Holy Spirit, the power, the sap, if you will, if you want to use a plant as a vine as an analogy. But he's the vine. We are the branches. We're the ones that spread out. We are to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ in this world. And he went on to tell us we're supposed to be a light and we're supposed to be salt. And he went over and over and over. Today we're just going to talk about fruit, but all of these things are synonymous. He's saying the same thing when he says you're supposed to be the light of the world. You're the light of the world, not in your own intellect or your own knowledge or your own strength or your own ability to articulate or read poetry. That's all wonderful and great, but you're supposed to be the light of his shining through you. He is the vine. We are the branches. 15:5, did you throw it up there yet? He who abides in me, that's you and I, and I in him, bears what? Much fruit. Because without me, he said, you can do how much? Nothing. Nothing. So I don't care if somebody sits there and says, well, in order to love God, you must love yourself. Where's Jesus fit into that? He doesn't. It's a false teaching. Oh, you need to go and sell everything you have and go be a missionary in Colombia somewhere or Argentina or Timbuktu. Where's Jesus in all that? Well, it can be, but you understand what I'm saying. The message is Jesus Christ in the beginning, Jesus Christ in the middle, and Jesus Christ at the end. He's the vine. He's the one that supplies the sap. He's the one that supplies the Holy Spirit. He's the one that works through you so that you may produce good fruit. And that good fruit will contain seeds. And those seeds are what you and I plant. Those seeds are what every believer, every good tree, every believer is called to plant. That can happen in a million, trillion, billion ways. You have to work for a living, and so you support this church, and this church has a radio outreach now, and this church has a YouTube outreach where we're trying to reach the unsaved, and we have Bible tracts that we give out, and we invite people to the church, and we try and make it comfortable with coffee and donuts. You're part of that. You're part of those good seeds. So everyone has a role to play somewhere. You join the prayer team. You become a prayer warrior and you pray, what? That the seeds will germinate. But it's all about the good fruit, and the good fruit has good seeds, but he is the vine. He is the one that produces the power. He's the one that we feed off of. He's the one that strengthens us. He's the one that causes us to blossom. He's the one that makes the branches reach out into the furthest depths of southern Arizona, down here as close to Mexico as any church I know, Bible believing. There's a few down there in Nogales, but you get what I'm saying. It's all about Jesus. Not about Dr. Phil, not about making yourself feel good, not about Oprah telling millions and millions that Jesus was just a metaphor. You know, Oprah grew up in a Bible-believing family, and she has completely, she's probably going to sue me if she reads this, but I ain't got nothing to sue for, so we're okay. But seriously, I mean, she's literally said that, you know, Jesus, he's just a metaphor for all your good stuff, just a metaphor. He's not a metaphor. Not only was he a historical figure who walked and talked and lived on this earth, but he had the audacity to say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father, he said of himself, are one. And he also said, if you want to get to the Father, you got to go through me. It's all about Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's message on Learning to Live for God with Pastor Steve Akin of Southern Arizona Community Church in Green Valley. We hope that you are encouraged and inspired to walk closer to Jesus Christ. We invite you and your family to visit us in person each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at the Community and Performance and Arts Center at 1250 West Continental Road in Green Valley. Just take I-19 to Continental Road, exit 63, and go west and follow the signs to Southern Arizona Community Church. For a Google map, visit our website at soazcc.org. For those unable to attend in person on Sundays, we invite you to listen to this program and also to visit our website at soazcc.org for a link to the live YouTube broadcast of our Sunday service. Our website again is soazcc.org. That's soazcc.org. Join us again next Sunday morning at this same time for another encouraging and inspiring message on Learning to Live for God with Pastor Steve Akin.